Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
Time now for The Drive with Mark Ennis on 93.9 The Ville. The Drive is brought to you by Fitness Market, Louisville's premier location for fitness equipment and in-home saunas. Online at thefitnessmarket.com. Now here's Mark Ennis and Jeff Lightsey Jr.
Welcome back into The Drive here on 93.9 The Ville. Mark Ennis, Jeff Lightsey Jr., 8150-939, that's the number if you want to jump in here. 3831-939 for the UPS jobs text line. You're welcome to hit us up that way if you would like to do so. Texter said, I was watching The Hangover last night for the first time in a while. Forgot that the Joker and the Thief plays in the scene where Alan is counting cards in blackjack. He got me up off my couch doing fist pumps and cards chance in my apartment. We're going to find out down the road that there's something like hidden in the song that just does something, like scientifically does something to the brain, because there's just something about it. Like by the end, wherever you are, like at the Yum Center, at football game, whatever it is, like everyone is good and lathered up by the time that song is done, every single time.
Every time. And I love it every time. It never gets old. It's something that never gets old. And yeah, I'm with you. There's something about the chakras, the wavelengths that kind of trigger something in our brains that gets us turned up.
I think you're right.
So I am all for it. I am curious what it is.
I'm excited for the Yum Center this year for it to not be a blowout game and we can actually enjoy Joker the Thief.
I don't want to hear any individual hands clapping like I've been able to in the last couple of years. Right? I just want it to be a sea of noise like it used to be. That's what I'm hopeful for. Hopefully, by the way, that we'll talk more in a little bit about what's included in the NCAA football game, the EA Sports game that's coming. Every school, like they seems like they went all out to let everyone sort of really personalize this now that we're sort of being above board with these things. I know that was one thing that was submitted to have Joker and the Thief play, but we'll talk about some of that in a bit. This was starting yesterday. The reporting was that basically a lot of people felt like this was about to get done and that Jim Schlossnagel, who's never been made fun of for that last name, I promise, once in his life, was going to leave A&M 24 hours after coming one run short of winning a national championship at A&M to go to their hated rival, Texas. He was asked about it at the podium by a reporter, for Texas A&M's 24/7 site.
Yes.
Do we have the question and the answer?
Don't know if you have the question.
Okay, either way, I'm just going to say it. The question was very respectful.
Yeah.
The question was, it was in no way an attempt to show him up or put him on the spot. It was just, someone should ask, I'm going to ask.
They were doing their job. I mean, that's essentially, exactly right. They were just doing the job, making sure, because that is the thing. He would have been asked, why didn't you ask him this? Especially with what occurred 24 hours later. So.
So here you go.
Coach, with respect to the difficult outcome tonight, but with the rumors circulating today about a specific job opening, what do you have to say about your future in Aggieland?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty selfish of you to ask me that question, to be honest with you. But my, I left my family to be the coach at Texas A&M. I took the job at Texas A&M to never take another job again. And that hasn't changed in my mind. That's unfair to talk about something like that. That'd be like you asking Montgomery if he's going to sign in the draft. But I understand you got to ask the question. But I gave up a big part of my life to come take this job, and I've poured every ounce of my soul in this job, and I've given this job every single ounce I can possibly give it. So write that.
Coach, thank you.
What a jerk. So now we know, within hours of that press conference,
yes,
he accepted the Texas job. And it has come out, basically, that like they've... The negotiation had to happen beforehand.
Yes.
So we're talking about like either between games 2 and 3 or at some point
during a season,
along the post, you know, like in the postseason or whatever it might have been. He has a longstanding relationship with Texas's AD from the time that they were both at TCU. That's where this comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to be clear, at least for me, I don't know where... I don't know that there's anything wrong with him doing this, but I don't know what possessed him to answer that question that way. Like, I don't think anyone has a giant issue with that. Like, coaches do this.
Part of the game.
It's part of that.
Kalen DeBoer played for a championship at Washington. He's at Alabama 2 weeks later due to different circumstances. Obviously, it's Alabama, but still, he was playing for a national championship this year, and he's somewhere else now.
I think Dan Wolkin said it best. Like, if you don't answer the way that you did here, this is not this. The only thing this is an interesting, like, the rivalry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But instead, it's like a whole referendum on his character. There, like, what was going through his head?
And then for the other stuff that has now come out, like the alleged secret burner phones. Like, basically, he was recruiting for Texas in between games at the College World Series. And so if that is true, and you still... And because the thing about hearing the question again, the reporter didn't say a specific school. He didn't say a specific name. He just said there is an opening, and your name's been floated around it. What do you have to say to Aggieland? If he just goes, man, I love it here. You know, we just played a hard-fought game. That's not what I'm thinking about right now. I'm thinking about my team and making sure those guys are okay after losing Game 3 of the College World Series. This is a nothing burger story.
Yep.
Like an absolute nothing burger. But instead to attack that reporter as if he didn't know what he was talking about, like, I gave up my life at TCU to be here, and I only plan on being here knowing that the contract is done. Like, you're doing that knowing that your Texas contract is done, because all of his staff went with him too. So this wasn't just a 24-hour thing. All of these guys were making those moves ahead of time. Whether this burner phone story is true or not, like, all of them already knew that they were headed to Austin. And to still attack Rip and jump on that reporter like that, that was classless. Like, how can you send, if you were a parent with a high-level recruit, what makes you think that man will look after your son while he's playing for them, if that's how he's going to act, knowing that the Texas job, he's taking it, and this story's going to blow up if you act like that?
I mean, he was at TCU forever, like through the Mountain West days, Conference USA to the Big 12, and he's at A&M for 3 years because Texas is open. Like, I get it. It's a bigger job, better paying job probably. But still, like, 24 hours after losing a championship game, you're taking another job, and not just another job, but a rival school who your school absolutely despises, mm-hmm. and you couldn't wait like a few days, like, you guys just lost a hard-fought game. It's like, yeah, sorry, guys. Sorry you lost. I'm going to your rival now.
I'm still not totally mad at that, though, because to Mark's point, he had this long, like, all those years he was at TCU, it was with this AD. Like, the AD, he's now the AD at Texas. He was the AD at TCU for a long time. So these guys have had this long-standing, and clearly the relationship is nice, and Texas has infinite money, so it doesn't matter about buying out contracts, even if it's $3 million for a baseball coach. Like, none of that matters. And even with it being so soon after the national championship game, I don't even think that matters. It's just the fact that the way he reacted. Like, this is not a story if he doesn't react like that, because, once again, coaches change jobs all the time.
Yeah, we're not unfamiliar with that.
All the time. Like, and with the transfer portal now and NIL, if you're going to change job, it's best to do it as soon as possible, because you have to go out and recruit sometimes an entire roster, as we've seen here. So, like, we get it. Like, all of that makes sense, the timeliness of it. It's just the fact that knowing that you're taking the Texas job, you still decide to make that statement and then storm off like a big crybaby.
Write that.
Like, yeah, like, write that and storm off. Like, come on, man, get out of here. Like, knock it off.
Like, this is how you get something hung around your neck forever.
Yes. Like, yes.
This is.
It's never going to leave.
This is the number. Like, it doesn't matter what he does the rest of his career. Mm-hmm. This will be the number one thing people talk about whenever you mention him. It doesn't even matter if he wins championships.
Yeah.
This will be the first thing people bring up, just like they do, say, Tommy Tuberville in the Pine Box. Yes. Remember that? Like, mm-hmm. Gary Mander in the Pine Box, and he goes immediately.
Yeah.
Like, you can't live those things down. I don't know what he was thinking.
But that's the thing.
There's an easy way to handle this. You can be obfuscating. You can just sort of wave your hands around and say, like, look, can we just talk about this? I can't control what people say. We're in a, you know, really, I would just really like to celebrate these guys. Everyone's heartbroken right now. I know you have to answer that question. I'm not mad that you asked me that question, but I just want to talk about these guys. Can we just keep it here?
Yes.
And then you haven't lied to anyone.
You haven't.
Nope. You haven't disrespected the moment. Mm-mm. You haven't crapped on a media member who's literally just doing their job. Like, that's all you had to do. Now, to his credit, do you have it? He did apologize at his introductory press conference at Texas today, and I think it was at least in an effort to head off getting asked a bunch of questions about it. Yeah. Here's what he said.
When the game ended, I want to publicly apologize to Richard Zane from Texags. He's a young reporter. He asked the question. That was an obvious question. I wish I could have answered that better. But in the moment, all, you know, 30 minutes after the last pitch, all I could think about was our players. And I really wasn't in the mood to talk about myself or the future. So I apologize for that to Richard.
The only thing I don't like, good. He just owned it.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically named the person and what he did wrong. Cool.
Yeah.
I don't care for, I wish I could have answered that differently. You could have answered
you
that
could
differently.
You could have. You had every opportunity. Like, yeah. It was right there.
I wish I would have answered that differently. Yes. Not could have answered that differently. Because that still makes it sound like, well, what else was I supposed to say?
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
And I don't care for that.
Yeah.
But he did apologize. Did you give him credit for that, I guess?
No. See, and here's the thing, though. To your point, baseball just in general, but especially college baseball, doesn't get enough coverage to overshadow this moment. So when you have big viral moments like that, like Nick Saban did the exact same thing at Miami, but then Nick Saban goes on to win 6 national championships at Alabama, and yeah, that gets brought up sometime, but like tongue in cheek, like laugh, ha ha ha. He was never going to leave Miami, which is like, especially at that time, the dumpster of the NFL, and he goes on to become the greatest college football coach ever. But because college football is so massive, we don't give a damn about what he did in Miami. He was Saban at Bama. You know, like he became Nick Saban, the greatest ever at Alabama. And the Miami thing is just kind of funny because, imagine if he would have stayed. We wouldn't have got the greatest, maybe the greatest dynasty in college football history. But because college baseball doesn't get that type of coverage, he can't escape this. So, yeah, the apology was good. It was great that he did it. But there's not enough national coverage to overshadow the fact that he did that. This will be associated with him forever. And he can go on to win 6 national championships. The Texas people won't care about this. But because college baseball isn't college football, I'm like, hey, remember when that guy like ripped that reporter and went to Texas the next day? Like, you had to apologize about it at his presser 24 hours later? Like, all of that that's the thing that's going to follow him, unlike it would, let's say, a high-level college football coach or a high-level college basketball coach or something like that.
Like Lincoln Riley, he's like, I'm not taking the LSU job, which is not lying because he took the USC job the next day. That was the funniest, like, I'm not lying, but he's just flat out saying, like, he's not saying I'm staying here.
He played us when he did that.
You're definitely like, okay, he's staying. He stays not taking the LSU job. Oh, USC's open and he's going to LA tomorrow.
Yeah. He played us. He was like, I'll make them think. Well, he must be serious because this was explicit and it was direct.
And he used the school.
Yeah, we know what it sounds like when a coach says something that leaves them enough wiggle room to where they can save face and not be lying, a plausible deniability, and saying, I'm not going to LSU. That sounds not that. That sounds definitive. And he's like, I'm not going to LSU. And you're like, oh, I didn't know that meant.
I didn't know this was an option.
I thought that meant I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't know
this was an option. It's like when Brett Favre was like, I'm immunized. Right? You're like, but it's not.
Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers. I said Brett Favre.
Another scummy Packers quarterback.
Yeah, that's all. But like, I'm going to say this, and you're going to fill it with the meaning you think it means. Mm-hmm. I mean something else. You'll find out later.
Yeah.
That's what I meant.
And it shocked everybody with the Lincoln thing, too, because he was leaving what felt like an established place to go to the Pac-12. Like, nobody was leaving a Southern, even though I don't think Oklahoma had announced they were going to SEC yet. But, like, Oklahoma football just seems bigger, at least at that time.
No, they had, because I remember.
Oh, they had already?
I remember some people were saying he's ducking the SEC. He's afraid of the SEC.
Yeah, so that makes even more sense. So, like, you're not going to leave a school that's going into the best football conference for a school that, like, hasn't. Like, it's been great before, but it's been a while. Like, and you're about to head into the best conference in the country, you know, college football conference, and you're leaving that for USC? Like, it makes sense.
Because USC, the Big Ten had not been announced.
No.
From what I'm remembering from the events. But yeah, that was one of the wildest. But yeah, this guy's like, I'm not going. And then 24 hours later, like, Texas may win all next year, but it will be thinking, oh, remember last year, where Slosky was like, I'm not leaving.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Well, he did the same thing at TCU about the A&M job, too.
I did see that. I saw that article from 2021, and I was like, oh, this is, like, hilarious.
Couple of texts in. Petrino has the recipe. Just do and say so many ridiculous things that no one single thing stands out. So you can't just hang. But he tried. But you ain't never going to top that motorcycle. Like, that's then like that. He tried to.
It is.
He's right.
He tried
to sort of lose it in a sea of embarrassing things, but you're never going to beat that one.
Yeah, the Auburn thing's not even like a top five ridiculous Bobby's thing that happened.
That's a good point. That's right.
Yeah, because he also has the picture, too. Like, the picture with the motorcycle thing. Like, that's,
oh, the neck brace.
It all kind of, yeah, the picture with the neck 100%. Brace, the red scarred up face, and it's like, that image is just forever.
It's almost like you can gauge sort of where in Bobby's career it was by sort of like the most recent humiliating thing. Right, because you have the Auburn interview where you're snaking the guy that you used to work for. Like, that was Bobby Petrino.
Yeah.
And then bailing on the Falcons.
Yes. Three games left in the season.
Right. That was Bobby Petrino. Then the motorcycle thing. Then the only people I can hire are my family members, and the bottom falls out here.
Bobby. We hired that guy again, man. I mean, it did bring us Lamar. It did bring us Lamar. But
yeah.
Louisville
Lamar
did.
Thomas brought us Lamar.
Well, that's true. They had to basically fool Bobby into taking him.
Yeah, that is true.
And but he did a good job with him when he was here.
Yeah,
I'm not going to take that from Bobby.
No, but it's like, wow. Like, after motorcycle, Auburn, all that stuff, we hired, like, they hired that guy again.
And Arkansas is doing it, too. He's probably next in line succession if Pittman falls.
I mean, what kind of life is that? And Bobby Petrino, my goodness. Yeah, Pittman starts off, let's call it 3-4. He could be fired, and Bobby could be running the show 2-5.
I need. Oh, I wanted
there
Bobby.
Are Arkansas fans who want that.
Yeah,
yeah.
I wanted Bobby to interim last year at A&M. I wanted that just for the chaos that would ensue if that happened.
I can't imagine.
That is crazy, Bobby Petrino.
Couple of other texts very quickly. I'm not going. Goes. That's exactly what it did. He ain't cut like that. Another texter said, "Nobody outside of Hot Take Sports Radio guy gives two craps about this." Can't believe you guys and Dean are so butthurt about this. Oh, I disagree. Yeah. I think people are having a field day with
this. Oh, absolutely.
This has been on everything I've listened to today.
Heard. This is one of the
Sports Center,
most
social media.
Things.
Yes.
Yeah. It's literally one of the most talked about stories in sports right now.
Well, because like you recognize inherently, like, there is, this is a part of the business.
Yes.
And there is a typical way of doing things that at least allows everybody to mostly save face. This should have just been a local rivalry story.
Mm-hmm.
And in which case, the texter would be right. Nobody would care that A&M's baseball coach went to Texas.
Yes.
But it's being an a-hole about it, dumping on a media guy about it, right after almost winning a national championship. Like, if they come back and finish that comeback, is he going?
That's something I would love to have seen happen.
And I do love the detail before we get to the phones here. I do love the detail that Texas's AD wanted to finish the negotiations. Did you see this?
Yes.
And wait, did you see? Like, he waited in his car by a cemetery for Schlossnagel, which is very difficult for me to say, to get home. And then they would meet there and no one would see them because he didn't think there'd be anybody that would recognize him at a cemetery at night.
Well, also,
and that's where they finished the deal.
Texas didn't fire their coach until like 2 days ago.
The morning of the
championship game, right? That's when the news came out that he was getting fired. So, like, we can now speculate there was definitely some back channeling. Like,
sure,
hey, if this job becomes open, would you take it?
And okay, I'm gonna push them over the edge to fire him. Like, hey, if we fire him, are you gonna come?
Yeah, like, I don't think they're firing if they don't get that kind of verbal like, I'm taking this job. Because,
you might be right.
Because if he says no, then you just fired a coach who's not bad, but he's fine. And it's like, who are you going to get at this point?
Yeah, I mean, it shows that relationship that goes back years. I mean, he could have talked to his son and said, hey, ask your dad. Like, that way you're not tampering or anything. Like, hey, make sure, or texted the wife or whoever. Like, because they've known each other for such a long time and worked together for such a long time. Like, hey, I got you. That $3 million buyout, don't worry about it. Would you come? Yeah, you know, I'm rocking with you. Are your guys going to come with you? Because the whole staff left, too. That's another thing. Like, not one person stayed. You know, sometimes you get elevations or whatever. No, they all are going to Austin. And so this has been, albeit, like you said, the coaches haven't been removed for that long. This has been in the works, I would imagine, for a while.
Texas said, it's funny that he did that to TCU on his way to Texas A&M, which he did. So he Petrino'd his way up the ranks while never leaving the state of Texas. You have to give the guy credit for this.
Oh, yeah.
He does not fear for his life at all.
Not at all.
Like, I'm like betraying TCU and A&M fans to go to Texas. Like, he has no problem being hated. None. Which, hey, maybe that comes in handy in the long run. Let's get John in here. John, thanks for waiting, bud. Welcome into the drive on our thing. Hey, what's up?
Hey, guys. The question I've had for years with all of these coaches is, like, where are their agents, and do they not have any public relations people helping them? This jackass must have known the question was going to be asked. How did his agent not get him ready for that? I thought that about Petrino. Mm. I thought about Saban. They have no people skills whatsoever. They deserve everything they get on this. And it's a question I'd like someone to ask. Get some PR people to help you get prepared for the question. I mean, or they're just dense and stupid. I really don't know, but it's amazing.
Appreciate the call there, John. The PR angle of this, if you listen to David Samson with the Levitard Show, you know, he was the vice president of the Marlins for a long time, and he talks about this. He's always outraged. He talked about it today. He did 6 or 7 minutes on his Nothing Personal today about it. And it's one of the things he talks about all the time. Get your heads together and think about what you're going to say.
Yes.
You're going to be asked about this. The problem is, I'm guessing that his agent probably did tell him something.
Oh, absolutely.
The problem is, coaches are in the business and they're in the habit of talking, not listening.
Mm.
And we know this locally. Guys, they didn't tell Kenny to say none of that stuff about Caron Davis. In fact, I know for certain, not firsthand, I wasn't in the room, but I know other people that were there, they were like, they did put their heads together for what to say about Caron Davis, and then Kenny just went out and said whatever the hell he wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And so, John's right. You should be more PR savvy than that and be prepared, your agent. But you can't make these guys, like, you can PR a horse to water, but you can't make him not be an idiot.
That's the thing. All of what's
probably not how that goes.
It would,
you get it.
I got it. Yeah. I was going to leave it alone.
It was in there.
Yeah, like, that's the thing. They have all of that stuff. And like Marcus said, they're telling them what to say. Hey, they probably have cue cards. Just read this. Well, just read it. But at the end of the day, they can't go out there and talk for them. And with coaches, these are very stubborn and ego-driven men. They wouldn't be where they're at in their profession if they weren't. And so, therefore, at the end of the day, are they going to listen to a guy or gal wearing a suit that knows, that doesn't play the sport or isn't coaching the sport or doesn't? Or are you going to listen to yourself, the one that just got off the field, coaching the guys, leading the guys to the battle or whatever that mindset is to be a high-level Division I athletics coach, whether it's football, baseball, basketball, whatever, or professional or whatever? Like, you're going to listen to the person that sits in the sideline and that types up letters, newsletters, and press releases? You're going to listen to yourself. And that's, I think, how some of them think. And unfortunately, these people are paid to do what they do, sir. So you should probably listen. Like, they're not trying to lead you down the wrong path. They're trying to lead you in the right direction. And, like, you should probably listen, especially for something this, you know, something of this magnitude. Just listen, and whatever they're telling you, it's going to be something simple. It's not going to be very over the top dramatic. Just go out there and say, hey, man, like, I'm not thinking about any other jobs right now. My guys just, I mean, I'm telling you what to say. Hey, man, look, we just lost a hard fought battle in the College World Series Game 3. My guys are back there crying their eyes out. I'm trying to get back to my team and make sure they're okay. I'm not thinking about any other job right now. and we'll deal with whatever comes next. Boom.
It would have been so funny if they won, and he just was like, you're a dumbass for asking me. I just won the national championship. Why would I not be back to try to repeat? And then just the next day leaves.
That is what he did.
I mean, yeah, but if they'd won the game, it would be a lot worse. It's like, we just won a championship. Like, I get what you're asking, but come on, let's let it marinate for a bit.
This would literally be a non-story if he just let this.
It would just be like you. In terms of the rivalry, though, you think about this: Texas fires their coach the morning of the decisive game, mm-hmm. and the swirling starts almost immediately. Like, Texas was determined to take as much possible shine off of A&M's successful baseball season as possible, because they were either going to be talking about, like, we're going to make sure these rumors are out there, even if we can't get them.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to make sure these rumors float the whole day, and that A&M fans, if they win a national championship, they still got to bite their fingernails that he might go. Like, they were trying.
And it still had to be asked. Yeah. Like, even if they would have wanted it, it had to be asked. Because, yes. Like you said, immediately after, you're talking about the rumors, and you're like, would Texas actually pay $3 million for a buyout for a baseball coach whose revenue probably is half of that? If they're lucky? If they're lucky, the revenue is half of that. As we saw, the revenue, as good as baseball's been here, we saw what the revenue was here. So if their revenue is outstanding, it's like half of that. And you still have to pay him and his coaches whatever their salaries command. And like, are they going to really be able to do that? Are like willing to do that? And sure enough, they were.
I'm sure they could just call McConaughey and just say, hey, can you write us a $1.5 million check? We're not going to tell you what it's for. Just write us a check. And he'll say yes.
By the way, for all of the like loving to just sort of roast the hypocrite and that sort of thing, 6 starters from this team have hit the portal already.
Yes, they have.
This whole team's just about to move across the state.
Yep. Yes, they are. They're going from College Station to Austin.
Or they're all going to get filthy rich. Or both.
No, they're going to do both.
It's a new like front in the rivalry. All I can say is A&M, if you want to save face, if you want to redeem yourself from the attempt earlier last year to poach somebody, this is your chance to redeem yourself for failing to poach a Kentucky coach in football. There's a young, successful guy that just took a team to the College World Series. This would be, you know, a chance to counterpunch here.
If they had the same AD, it might work, the analogy. But I still get what you're saying. Please take that guy away from us. Even though he's got a different AD now.
I just want what's best for A&M.
Yeah, I like it. It sounds good to me. A&M couldn't get the Kentucky football coach.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't because they couldn't.
Yeah, I was going to say. He wanted to.
The fans made sure they didn't get the
January 6.0 basically happened.
That was a heck of a day. Like, being at the end of the UK U of L game, they're literally beating us. The rumors are Stoops has already said his goodbyes.
Oh, that was all my phone. My phone was blowing up the whole morning from Kentucky folks. Like, he's out of here after this.
Yes. Like, during the game. Like they're like, he's already said his goodbyes to the important people. And you just saw your Twitter timeline just crash of A&M people like, what the hell are we doing? And they essentially confirmed that they were going to get Stoops because they go get Stoops Light down at Duke. I mean, he's just Stoops without the accolades.
I think the Kentucky guys on their postgame show was basically doing like a farewell to Stoops. Like, thank you kind of deal because it seemed like it was in writing there. And I go to bed and I'm like, oh, he's taking the job. Shoot a few texts to Kentucky guys like, hey, who do you guys think you're going to get? Like this, wake up like next morning, like, oh, we kept him. I'm like, what are you talking about? Oh, Aiden's like, yeah, we don't want him anymore.
Yeah, and he said he was never going to leave. In his statement, it was like, I never want to be anywhere but Kentucky.
Texter said, man, Spencer missed an opportunity to say that McConaughey would say, all right, all right, all right. When he said McConaughey would say yes.
You did. I fumbled the bag there.
You did. You messed it up.
I'm full of references. I just missed that one.
You missed that one. All right. You're not batting 1,000 today. All right. Let's take a quick break here. When we come back, we are getting closer to the release of the college football game this week. They've rolled out little details to it or about it. Today's no different. Some things I like about this, some things I think we got to talk about what it's going to take to convince people to put this sort of thing in the game. So we'll talk about all of that, what we're hoping to see from U of L in particular as well. On the other side here, on the drive on Athensville. Be back.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
You're listening to The Drive, presented by Fitness Market, right here on 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Mark Ennis and Jeff Lightsey Jr.
Welcome back into The Drive here on 93.9 The Ville. Mark Ennis, Jeff Lightsey Jr., 8150-939 is the number if you want to get in here. 3831-939 for the UPS jobs text line. If you'd like to hit us up that way, a texter just texted in, Rick, underachieving at U of L. I don't know if it got sent inadvertently or just Rick underachieved at U of L. I mean, I don't know about that either.
Yeah, let's not go crazy now.
The NCAA football game is coming out soon. What, 3 weeks or so?
Yes.
What's the date on that again? July?
It's the 19th, day before TBT.
I was about to say, I know it's the 19th or 20th. I was going to say 20th. So, yeah, 19th, that sounds good. I know there's, like, deluxe versions and all kinds of stuff. So, extra perks if you get the pre-order.
For Ultimate Team, which...
Yeah. And I think if you pre-order it, you get it, like, 3 days early. So, maybe, like, the 16th. I think that's also a thing. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm not a big video game person. I may not even buy it. I'm just looking forward to the fact that it's coming back out, so I'm happy about that.
I'm not either, but I am buying it.
Okay.
In fact, I think I stopped basically playing video games when the last one of these came out. And once they stopped making them, I was like, well, I guess I'm not really going to keep up with that anymore. They released today a kind of a deep dive, a video about how the lengths to which they went to make these teams all personalized. Instead of it being in any way generic, schools were allowed to submit all kinds of things so that when they portray Louisville or Penn State or whoever, the things that we all think of as like the little idiosyncratic things that we associate with here versus anywhere else, they've worked kind of hard to put a lot of that in there.
Yeah, it looks good too.
So there are the stadiums, they presented like hundreds and thousands of angles of everything. They were talked about the production where they were sort of went outside and built this ramp to run down to mimic what happens at Clemson when they run down the stupid thing after touching a stupid rock and all that. I keep waiting for Dabo to bust. He never does. Like one time.
And he runs really fast.
I know. Yes.
He runs so fast.
And just like a lot of you might not know this yet, but you reach a certain point in adulthood where it's like this really the only way to stop running once you reach a certain age is to just fall. And he's got to be close.
You would think. I mean, especially because that's a steep hill.
It's a very steep hill, and he's running like he's in a full sprint. I mean, a full sprint I don't know. It's just funny. It's just so funny seeing him do that every single time.
Does Clemson still do that dumb thing where they ride a bus around the stadium before? Because I've never seen that like a college game day or whatever featured years ago. I was like, that is really dumb.
I will never forget, you know, especially when you don't have any kind of rooting interest one way or the other. Mm-hmm. I love a close game, a tight game, you know, the tension and all of that. But sometimes when you truly don't care about the outcome, watching one team just devour the other one on the road is incredibly impressive. And that Jameis Winston year when they won the national championship, that Clemson, that place was rocking. Mm-hmm. It was the ABC 8 o'clock game. They go around the stadium on the buses and all that. Florida State beat the life out of them. We just killed them. And it was, I was in awe. Mm-hmm. And I hated those guys.
Yeah.
And I loved that game. It was just wildly impressive. Every time somebody talks about the buses, I always think about Dabo getting them off the bus and they were on the field. Florida State just did whatever they wanted.
Yeah. That Florida State team is sneaky underrated.
I agree.
How many pros they had on that team? Like how many guys ended up playing like nice careers in the league? If it was for a short time or still playing right now. And for the way they dominated a lot of those games. Like, I don't know if they had a close game until the championship game. like until the Auburn game. What was they played Auburn in that one?
Yeah, it
was
Auburn,
the championship game. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Nick Marshall.
Yeah, outside of that, which that's funny that Nick Marshall was able to get that gimmicky offense all the way to the championship game without really being able to throw. They ran through a lot of teams and it wasn't close. And they were and have a Heisman Trophy winner and a bunch of pros. That's a really, really good Florida State.
Yeah, I thought Nick O'Leary was going to have a great career.
I did think he would be a good
and
NFL player.
Kelvin Benjamin, too. I mean, he had because Super Bowl year Carolina got injured before the season, and they made the Super Bowl without him.
He's just one of those dudes that kept eating.
Literally. Just couldn't
it happens.
He's one Popeye biscuit from a tight end is what Booger said once. And then he actually was, like, tight end with the Giants a couple years ago in, like, the offseason.
Yeah, it didn't last. But
so some of the things for the NCAA football game that you can look for. Now, every team was allowed to submit tons of stuff, and then EA Sports kind of went about getting permission for some things, seeing if it was feasible. Mm-hmm. I know, like in U of L's case, they've submitted a ton of drawings.
Mm-hmm.
I know they asked to have Joker and the Thief, but that's a licensing thing where you probably would have to get a label to agree to that. If you're Wolf Mother? Or whoever their label is, how do you not say yes to that? There's no better product placement than that.
You were in the movie The Hangover, as we remembered earlier.
I don't think if anyone remembers that.
I used to associate it with The Hangover when I heard that song, and then Louisville started playing, so now it's strictly Louisville Association now.
You would imagine they'd do it. I mean, why not? It's pub. Yes. Like, what's that? Like, if you're playing a guy that's playing with Louisville or whatever, it's like, what is that song? I mean, that's a cool song. And then streams, which turns into revenue. You would think that you would do it. I don't know. I mean, it makes sense. I'd love if they did it, but once again, music labels are stupid. So unless you're paying them a ton of money, sometimes it doesn't matter.
There are some elements of it that I like that they're trying to capture the realism. Apparently on Dynasty Modes, if you take over, kind of a downtrodden team early on in the year, you get sparse crowds, and that it builds over time.
Well, that's cool.
And that you get sometimes more electric crowds for better opponents.
Mm-hmm.
Realistic. I think that's the kind of realism that makes it seem like you're making progress and that sort of thing. And that's fun.
Mm-hmm.
It can get too realistic at some point, but I don't think this comes anywhere near that.
Mm-mm.
So schools were allowed to submit actual audio of various chants and the band playing things, and even just sort of some fun moments. There's the Michigan State Mo Bamba playing in the over the stadium, PA, and it completely melted down on the field, and like they put that in
in the promo video.
Yeah,
it was awesome,
and it's gonna be in the game. Like, you're gonna have that moment. Everybody was allowed to submit some of that. I know Louisville did the Joker and the Thief. I know the Johnny Unai statue is on there. I don't know what else, because I don't think they've really been able to communicate with everybody, everything that they've done. But like they got groups of people together and like did everybody's chance if they didn't have a chance to go visit them and collect the audio themselves. Like, they really went all out for this thing. It sounds like it's going to be fun.
It's awesome to see that, because this is long awaited. Yeah. And so if we're going to come back after, an 11-year hiatus, like, we got to do it right. Like, let's not just make this the college football version of Madden. Like, no, people complain enough about, because EA makes Madden, they complain enough about Madden. Let's really make sure this game is separate from what we do for the NFL, because college football is different than the NFL. Like, even though it's becoming more and more like the NFL, it's still at its core a lot different. Like, college football has its own, whether you call them wacky, silly, or just amazing traditions. That is what makes this, okay, this is what's going to make me buy this game. Why should I buy this game if I don't like Madden, or if I'm not even a video game player, but I love college football? Why should I buy this game? Oh, knowing that I'll see the aspects of my favorite team or my most hated rival a part of the game, so that way when I win with my team or beat my rival or beat whoever, I feel like I'm really beating them. Like, if I'm going down to Kroger Field and I see the checkerboard blue and white skies, and it's like, oh, yeah, it's game time. It's time to go beat these bums, that stuff.
Well, the thing with this year, having the actual rosters in there, like, we're going to finish, like, a couple of years of a dynasty before the season starts. And if you're like a lot of people, you start with a lower-level team to try to, work your way up in their coaching career, work that program up. We're going to become, like, experts on Kennesaw State's roster by the end of the football season. And you'll watch a random Kennesaw game, it's like, oh, yeah, that's that guy that scored the touchdown for me, or that running back that just got stopped 3 yards short of the line to gain cost us this game. We're going to have those conversations with the game. It's going to be so fun just to know, like, random schools, like Maxion, when they play on Tuesday or Wednesday. It's like, hey, I know that quarterback. He's terrible or he's good.
It also has some fun details. You're going to be able to, and I think it remains to be seen if, like, you get to pick it or if you just kind of earn it or whatever, but you can have, like, checkered stadium with the team colors, or blackouts or whiteouts.
Yes, I've seen that.
And that sort of thing. That's a good recognition by somebody. Like, this is the stuff we like.
Yes,
it is. This is stuff that makes college super fun. I'm glad they've got that in it. There were a lot of hand gestures, which is hilarious to say. A lot of hand gestures that were submitted, like schools were allowed, whatever, so that when they flashed to fans in the stands, like L's up and all that sort of thing.
Yes, the U, L's up, all that stuff.
I didn't know that there were so many hand gestures. A lot of these I've never heard of.
Well, sometimes I only can think of about three.
Is Louisville, Texas, Miami?
Yeah, that's the three.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I think this must constantly do like a W kind of thing.
It turns out there's way more. Yeah. Yeah. Right? It's like NC State does this, the Wolfpack thing.
Oh, okay.
Right? Like,
good visual medium.
Yeah, I know.
You described it.
Sometimes, like, Mark holds his finger. Like, I know. Yeah, which is what I was doing just now. But, like, they've got a lot of that stuff in there. The crowd is going to build over the time you get better. It'll vacillate a little bit based on opponent and, like, the immensity of the game, and over the course of the year, like, they will coordinate with the weather, because there is nothing funnier than, like, you can have like a storming, rainy game and the crowd looks exactly the same, right? Or snowing and there's t-shirts, it doesn't matter. Like, it's all going to be done up to where, like, they're the appropriate, all of that. I'm thrilled about that. The only thing that I was really bummed about is, and I'm kind of curious what either of you think. No horns down.
I did see that.
No,
Oklahoma didn't submit that.
Well, that's okay.
That's what I'm trying to think.
No horns down. No L's down.
Presumably,
every school was allowed to submit like their own. While they're working on the, making this more personal and making it more reflective of like what college football is really like, which is all good. Someone's got to make peace with the fact that a big part of being a college fan is hate.
Yes,
hate, like horns down, L's down. You know, the obscene hand gestures that multiple teams make when Florida State does the tomahawk chop, like all of that, you're making fun of the gator chomp and all, like that's part of it too. And it feels like they still don't want to go anywhere near that.
I'm not sure if it's that. I think it's, we got to save something, because you have to make improvements on these things every year. So it's like, if I give you everything in year one, I'm giving you a lot. But if I give you every aspect of college football in year one, what do you look forward to in year two? Like, what is so? It's like
my parents. What are you going to do when you grow up? Exactly. Like, you do all that now.
I mean, this is the thing with like Madden, like in 2K to a degree, too. It's like, it's just a roster update every year. Like, yeah, the graphics are a little bit different. The modes are still the same. Like, they've made some tweaks to like My Player on like 2K or something, or My Career, whatever it's called now. But yeah, like each year, it's like, I'm not paying $60 for a roster update. I'll just play the game for 3 years and then buy the next one.
Yeah, so that's what I think. It's just simply 2 years from now, we'll get all that stuff. I think they want to do it.
You think so?
It's like, oh, absolutely. I think it's like, hey, we're going to add horns down, L's down.
Mocking gator chomps.
Exactly. Yes. I think all of that is coming down the line. I just think they're just holding on to it so that way when they announce, like after you played it for a year or two, and they announce, now you can diss your rival or diss your opponent. It's like, oh my goodness, they just added. Like, we finally been waiting for us to be able to throw horns down or to be able to do L's down or to mock my rival or mock the team I'm playing against. And that's its own engagement in itself. And it gets you hyped for whatever year that game comes out.
Like, imagine like Road to Glory. Let's say you're playing at FSU, and then you're all against Florida. You score a touchdown. You just gator chomp the entire student section right there.
Yeah, I definitely think it's down the line. I think they want to do it. I just think they gotta hold back some of the stuff that they're able to do just for next games.
Anything else you hope that U of L submitted and makes its way in there? Like, what would you say are the essentials? Like, you got to have the train horn.
Yes.
You got to have the United statue.
Yes.
You got to have Louis. All of that. Joker and the Thief, if you can get it. You know, as long as you can work that. Like, that's pretty endemic. I think it's
I can take it or leave it with having cards first down in the game.
See, I would hope that that would
be. I hope it's in the game, but if it's not, it's not like I'm losing sleep over it.
That would be nice. That would show they really, I mean, they are going really into grave details. I think the Lamar number retirement, I would like to see that. If you just do a crowd shot, because there's only two, there's Unitas and Lamar, and because Lamar Jackson is such a massive part of University of Louisville football history, I would like to see his number up there if you just take a crowd shot. That's really the only thing outside of that that I would like to see as, you know, anything else added.
Yeah, I would hope cards first down is in there. Like, that's that would be a thing. Prior to dumping, what's his name, Sean Moth. You know, Sean Moth is the one they originally picked the third down song that everyone was like, well, it should be something different. And then we're all like, man, I missed the third down song. Mm-hmm. I would hope that would have been in there. But now, you know, now that they changed around, it's not going to be that. I can't think of much else. The texture did say this. This is very funny. So on the new college game, if the weather forecast is potentially rainy, will that drive down U of L's attendance? All of the whatever joke you're thinking about, someone's made it today. You know, will the U of L crowd fill in and like the at the end of the first quarter? Will there be 15,000 people on the party deck?
Yeah. Wake Forest, they all leave at halftime.
Leave it after, yeah.
Everybody on the party deck, yeah. Like the upper level seats, there's no one they'll be there because they're all partying on the party deck. Yeah, that's always fun.
5,000 people still in the parking lot at kickoff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That too.
Or that's okay.
Yeah. Tailgate.
The Cardinal Bird parachuting in, that is a good suggestion.
Oh, that's nice.
I would hope that would make its way.
I don't know if they actually like physically had it, but I remember there was like a promo video that they would have like before every game, and they like showed like an image of them parachuting down, but not like actually on the field. I'm trying to think how it went. But I remember it kind of being in the last games.
I saw my boy Big Red in the promo. I was happy about that. Big Red, WKU, one of the most famous or infamous mascots.
He's not infamous.
Everybody loves
he's lovable.
Red.
Yeah,
everybody
he's on Grimace level. He's more than Grimace, but we all love him.
He's beloved.
Yeah,
speaking of Big Red, I think it would be really cool, just because I know him, and I think we all know him or have met him at least. But Gary, you know, like the Red Bird, like he's iconic. Like yeah. People know that would who be he nice. Is. If could you imagine if he's in that game? Like how great would that be?
Like that, like imagine just like having yourself in a game,
right?
Like a specific super fan. Yeah, no, that would be awesome. Like that would have to get framed somehow. I don't know. How do you frame a digital version of yourself?
Like there's that guy at Miami. It's on Oliver's brother, but there was a guy at Miami that would wear like a football jersey dressed up to every game last year. It's a cool tribute. Like I don't know how like if it's considered incisive or not to have him in the game, but that'd be cool if they could work a way out with him. It's like, hey, it's okay. Yeah, go for it.
That'd be pretty awesome. I mean, Gary or any type of super fan like that, because they're doing like turnover chains and things like that. So, So if you're going to have, if you're getting that intricate, every base, I'd imagine, have at least one version of Gary. Like what, like at least the Miami guy that wears the shoulder pads and helmet every game. Gary that literally paints up every single game. Like that would be pretty cool. That'd be a hell of a perk.
Texture says, I hope they include a model of Blankenbaker creeping around the sideline, glaring at the officials. Do you like that idea?
I got my first Blank experience on the sideline, and I couldn't believe it. Like, last year during the season.
It's a different man.
Oh, my goodness. That was another thing. All last season was, like, my first season as a radio person going to games, because I was a TV person before that. And the way the TV folks and the radio folks act at games, it's like complete 180. Like everybody here has a good, like you're a fan. You just have a good time. You're tailgating. You're doing all the stuff that fans do. Whereas the TV people, you're there in like shirt and tie or collared shirts or like you're on business. Like you might have to do a live shot at 11 o'clock at night if it's a late game or whatever. Like you're there for business. And watching Blank roam the sidelines and really get after referees as if he was a coach for real. That was an experience.
The way Lieberman talks about how Rick Pitino would black out during games, like Blankenbaker does the exact same thing.
100%. 100%.
He watches them as hard as Rick coached them. That's 100% right.
He told me he watches every game 3 times.
I'm surprised it's not more.
Losses, it's more.
Okay.
He watches the losses more.
He's into that.
Every game 3 times, and if it's loss, it's at least 4. At least.
I believe it.
Okay.
You cannot, in look, whatever you think about Mark, and I love Mark, like whatever you think about him, he is not dispassionate about any of this. Let's get to Alex in here before we get too close to the top of the hour. Alex, welcome into the job, bud. What's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? So I guess just because Louisville has had some pretty unique experiences over the past couple of years, I really hope that there's like a glitch in the game where if you're having a bad season at Louisville and you consistently run the ball on third down, that at halftime a squirrel just magically appears on the field and runs across the field while you're like trying to pick a play, and then you have to like stop and figure out what the heck. Like, that would be something that only like a true like UofL fan would understand, like the funny of that. Or if you're playing Kentucky and you're having a good season, and Kentucky just so happens to lead the league in penalties, and then the time you play them, they throw no penalties at all. And you're like, whoa, why are my people getting held and pushed on the ground? And it's just that those are the kind of glitches that I hope aren't there. But if they are there, I will respect.
You'll understand.
In real life, I'm pissed about it. Yeah, but if I'm playing the game, I'll be like, all right, I get it. I understand. Somebody knew what they were doing when they did this. Thank you, guys. I will.
Appreciate it, Alex. Good to hear from you. Yeah, if you play that game, it's like, what is throw trash can button? What the hell? What is this? Yeah, I could see some of that.
That's pretty cool. That's funny. Oh,
my goodness. Texture said, I would love audio of him yelling in from the crowd, check their blood for Osterried. When you play Clinton, like, yeah. I mean, this could get real fun real quick if we did something like that.
If you're at Clemson, the yard marker, you just can't see it when you're trying to go to the sidelines. Like, where's the first down? Oh, I'm not going to see it.
This is what I'm talking about, guys. The hateful stuff. It's integral. Like, you can't, there's no, being a fan of somebody means I hate them.
Yes,
over there.
It like, does.
They've got to find more of a way to incorporate some of that.
I think that's coming. I think it's just like, hey, you know, we'll just sprinkle in.
You know what they're going to do?
A little bit here and there. What is that?
It'll be smart. Like, make it downloadable content that you have to pay for.
I was about to say, like, it costs
you pay
more.
$10 extra and you get L's down and horns down and stuff like that.
Kentucky and Oklahoma fans are immediately buying that DLC.
No question. You want to sell? What, you want to move some product here? Put the hate in there.
Oh, the A&M fans will definitely buy. Like, Oklahoma, A&M, all those guys that hate Texas, they're all getting the bonus, the extra package.
And us in Texas are like, no, I'm good without it.
Mm-hmm. It's all positive over here. All right, one more hour to go here. Take a quick break and be right back on The Drive on iThunderbolt.